Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is The Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. How are your kidneys? Are they healthy? Well, how do you know? And what do you have to do to make sure they stay healthy and keeping you away from dialysis? Well, tonight, we're talking about the importance of kidney health and what happens when your kidneys are not healthy. It is our Medical Monday conversation. My guest is Dr. Keith Melanchon. He is the professor of surgery at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Science. Lines are open if you have comments or questions about kidney health at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Melanchon, thank you so much for coming back to the program. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Harold, for having me back. It's always lovely to be here with you.
Let's get right down to some of the basics about your kidneys. What do they do and how do they work?
Basically, your kidneys are filters for your body. They are very important because if you don't have your kidneys functioning properly, you can't live. Now, fortunately, we do have ways of keeping people alive with dialysis, but you need your filters to filter out all of the toxins of your body. So everything you take in, all the fluid, all the food, the breakdown products of your cells, they all have to be filtered through your kidneys. Your kidneys are the filters for your body.
So how do the kidneys differ from the liver?
Yeah, so they do work in tandem. The kidney is much more of a filter than the liver is, because the liver, which is, you know, one of the largest, the largest solid organ in the body, the liver does a lot of creating things. So it breaks down things and recreates them, whereas the kidney is more concerned with excreting waste. They both excrete waste, but the kidneys, that's their primary goal, whereas the liver also takes in a lot of the food that you eat and breaks it down into the constituent parts that are important for your body to metabolize. When you eat a steak, it's not ready for your cells to metabolize. It has to go through the liver, and the liver makes it palatable to all the cells. Your kidneys really almost 100% concerned of just taking toxins out of your body.
What does dialysis do when your kidneys aren't working?
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, since the late 1960s, we have been lucky because we do have dialysis available in this country. And the dialysis machine actually starts to act as that filter that I described. It does not do it as effectively as your kidneys, but it does it well enough to keep you alive. Now, you can have two types of dialysis. It's hemodialysis, where they put needles into your blood vessels, and then your blood goes through a filter, and that way, that filter cleans your blood. Or you could have peritoneal dialysis. Works in a similar fashion, where a tube is sitting inside your abdomen, and fluid is pumped into your abdomen and then out of your abdomen slowly over time, and it filters out all of the toxins for your body.
Why does dialysis take so long?
Yeah, it does seem to take a long time because you have to be on the machine. Usually, if you're on hemodialysis, you have to be on that machine about 4 hours. And then you have to go at least 3 times a week. If you're on peritoneal dialysis, it's pretty much you're connected to a machine every night. And it seems to take a long time, but it's taking the place of something, your kidneys, that are filtering 24/7. So it is really not taking nearly as long as the amount of time that your kidneys take, because they're working imperceptibly every day, every minute, every second of the day. When you go to the dialysis machine, they have to quickly try to catch up. But it takes a lot of time because you have to go to the dialysis center, stay there for 4 hours, and then leave the dialysis center. You're not feeling that great on the day you get dialysis. So it pretty much wipes out that day. And if you're going 3 days a week, it knocks out 3 days out of every week. Almost half of every week is knocked out just for dialysis. And that's why it's such a problem.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about kidney health during this Medical Monday conversation. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's talk to Ray, calling from Baltimore. Ray, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I've been on and off of dialysis for the last 23 years. I've come to know it pretty well. This is my third time on, and I've been on dialysis for 9 years. And I wanted to say that kidney disease is the epidemic before the pandemic. In the limelight right now, people in the public purview, just to name a few people, rapper Scarface, recently got a transplant, Philadelphia Freeway, same thing. George Lopez got a kidney transplant. Tracy Morgan, kidney transplant. Tina Turner, transplant. And Stevie Wonder, all transplant recipients. And if we need a transplant, we don't hear about it as much, but we need it just as much. And is we need to talk about it more. Wherever we go, we could save someone's life. Just speaking about kidney disease, prevention, treatment, and awareness.
Mm. Ray, thank you so much for sharing that with us. You make some excellent points. Dr. Melancon, your thoughts about what Ray just shared with us?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear his question. Could you repeat them, Al?
Well, he was saying that there are so many people. He mentioned Tina Turner, he mentioned Stevie Wonder and Tracy Morgan and some other high-profile people who have received kidney transplants. He called it the epidemic before the pandemic, and that awareness of kidney disease is very, very important in that he has been on dialysis off and on for the past 23 years and had indeed have become very familiar with it.
I see. Well, yeah, he does make a great point, because we have seen a very dramatic uptick in the amount of people with kidney disease, primarily because the antecedents of kidney disease have increased markedly in this country. And the antecedents are primarily high blood pressure and diabetes, as well as obesity. Because we've had such an uptick in high blood pressure and diabetes, we have seen a lot more kidney disease. You know, the problem with high blood pressure is that for many patients that do have high blood pressure, their blood pressure is not controlled. And when your blood pressure is not controlled for long periods of time, that can lead to kidney disease. Same thing with diabetes. For matter of fact, the number one reason why people have kidney disease, it's usually a combination of those two problems, diabetes and kidney disease. And then the third thing I mentioned, which is obesity. Obesity is the number one cause of type 2 diabetes. So as we take in more sugar, more salt, we are driving up the rate of diabetes. We're driving up the rate of high blood pressure and therefore driving up the rate of kidney disease. This is a preventable problem if we could just get better control over diabetes and high blood pressure, and that's primarily through weight loss and eating different foods.
Speaking of foods, there's been so many conversations over the years. I know I've heard my mother talk about it, and just about anyone, when you, you know, talk about, you know, kidney health, they always say, please make sure that you eat, or I'd say, make sure that you drink cranberry juice. Is that a thing?
It is. Yeah. So what they're talking about is urinary tract infections. And anything that you do that can acidify the urine is going to be a means of decreasing bacterial infection. So citrus, be it eating oranges or any sort of citrus fruit, any sort of fruit, usually will work to acidify the urine. Cranberry juice does that very effectively. And bacteria, many types of bacteria, particularly the types that are most likely to cause urinary tract infections, have a harder time to multiply in an acid environment. So that mother wit is actually very, very accurate. The other thing that's accurate is staying well hydrated. So drinking lots of water, particularly during the summer months, is another way of having better kidney health. The more urine you make, the better, if it's being driven by taking in fluid. Now, one of the things that can happen is you can have a normal amount of urine output and then start to make a lot more urine, and that's an early sign of diabetes. So I don't want people to get confused, because a lot of urine all of a sudden can mean something bad is going on. If it's not being pushed by fluid intake. But fluid intake and even cranberry juice, these things are better for your kidney health.
Interesting. This is a Medical Monday conversation as we are talking about kidney health. You have two of them, but you should take care of both of them. How do you do it? And what are the signs that you may have difficulty with your kidney health. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So are there any signs or symptoms that a person may begin to feel if they are having kidney issues?
Yes, absolutely. It's a great question. And one of the earliest signs, and that's why I always like to mention this to the audiences I speak to, is that one of the earliest signs of kidney disease is increased amount of protein in the urine. And the way that manifests is more sudsy looking urine. When your urine starts to look like a beer, like the foam on the top of a beer, then that is a problem, because it means you have a lot more protein in your urine. And that is one of the earliest signs of kidney disease. So if someone notices that they have a lot more bubbles in their urine than they used to, then that could mean that they have protein in their urine, and that could be a early sign of kidney disease. Now, there are some things that happen to people later as they start to develop frank kidney dysfunction that people are probably more familiar with. If you start to retain fluid, and you will notice this usually in your feet and your ankles, if you start to retain fluid, that could be a sign of kidney disease. If your skin starts to darken, as African-American people, one of the signs of someone with poor kidney function is their skin becomes a lot darker. That is a sign of kidney disease. Itching. If you have a lot of itching, if you have dry, scaly skin, and you're having lots of itching, that can be a sign of kidney dysfunction. And then as you go on with more and more kidney dysfunction, you start to have frank fluid overload. And that is usually what brings people into the emergency room. They start to have trouble breathing. They feel like they're drowning. That is a sign of frank fluid overload, and that's a later sign of kidney disease. But these are the signs that people usually will manifest, which will push them to go to the emergency room.
I want to ask you a little bit more about the frank. Are you talking about FRANK, frank fluid overload?
Yes.
I'll ask you to explain exactly what that means. Also, we have a lot of people who want to talk to you, Doctor. We have Jay from Maryland. Jay, we're going to be talking to you in a bit. Also, James calling from Maryland as well. We're going to get your comment addressed as well. This is a Medical Monday. We are talking about kidney health. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the importance of kidney health and what happens when your kidneys are not healthy. My guest is Dr. Keith Melanchon, professor of surgery at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Science. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jay, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I have a problem since September 19, 2021, AB attack. But since that day until today, I've been taking 6 Tylenol every day to survive.
I'm sorry, say that again. You're taking what?
Tylenol.
Tylenol. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Every day. 6 every day since September 19, 2021 until today. If I don't take it, I can't sleep. Because I have they be very, very choked. They choke me. And my neck, boom, is fractured. I had a lot of injury about that attack because they say I'm from Africa. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I basically falling out every day, 6 every day.
So you're asking what effect does Tylenol have on the kidneys?
Yes.
Did you hear that, doctor?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, go right ahead.
And luckily for Jay, I can tell him that Tylenol really does not have a deleterious effect upon the kidney. So I oftentimes tell people that are concerned about their kidneys, they have to be very concerned about taking ibuprofen, Midol, things of that nature. Because if you take too much ibuprofen, that can hurt the kidney. And by too much, if you take it every couple of weeks or a few days in a row, but I'm talking about weeks and weeks at a time, numerous times in a day, ibuprofen can be a problem. But Tylenol is not really any issue for the kidney. However, taking Tylenol can be an issue for the liver, particularly if you take Tylenol in combination with alcohol. So I don't think he has any issue to worry about as far as kidney health, but if he's having to take a lot of Tylenol, then we might have to worry about Tylenol toxicity, and that can affect the liver.
Hmm. Okay, Jay, well, thank you so much for your phone call, and I wish you absolutely the best of health. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James calling from Maryland. James, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Doing just fine, thanks.
That's good. So I had a kidney transplant back in 2013, which my sister gave me one of her kidneys. Unfortunately, my kidney failed in 2019, which in 2020, I got a pancreas transplant also. So right now I'm doing dialysis, in which technically we aren't allowed to have 32 ounces of fluid a day. So my question was, when you asked him about the cranberry juice,
mm-hmm.
I was always under the impression about cranberry juice raises your blood sugar. So even though that I'm watching my fluids, can I still drink cranberry juice?
Yeah, okay, James, I heard your question, and it's a very good question. Now, what I was answering was just for a person in normal health. So you are correct. When you have kidney failure, which now you you have because your kidney transplant is not working normally any longer, you have to be very mindful of the amount of fluid that you take in. And you are right. Cranberry juice does have sugar and can push up your blood glucose. But normally, you know, if drinking a normal amount, which, you know, a glass a day, that's not that much added sugar. So it shouldn't be a problem. But you have to be mindful of your fluid intake because of your kidney failure. But the amount of sugar that you get in cranberry juice, if you're only drinking a glass or two, 8 to 16 ounces, is not really that much added sugar.
Okay. Well, James, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Joyce. Joyce calling from Maryland. Joyce, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I would like to know, how can you detect any micro damage to the kidneys? I have been diabetic for going on 30 years. And when I go to my doctor, all of my labs are within normal. But I have a concern because I do notice that sometimes I am spilling protein in my urine. And another concern I have that I have puffiness in my face at times.
Yes. Okay, Joyce. That's a great point. And, you know, again, when I speak to audiences, I tell them that early kidney damage oftentimes is missed by doctors. So you've had diabetes for a long time, and it sounds like your blood work is pretty good, normal. I hope that your doctor is checking your hemoglobin A1C, which a normal hemoglobin A1C is going to be below 7. So hopefully that is in the normal range. And that's one thing you want to stay on top of, because if your diabetes is under good control, it's less likely to cause a problem with your kidney. You have protein in your urine, and that is a problem. All right. So if what should be monitored is how much protein you are having in your urine, because, you know, early kidney disease, 5 to 8 stages of kidney disease. So early kidney disease, which would be stage 1, stage 2, is totally reversible. So if you have protein in your urine, there are things you can do to have that proteinuria go away. And those things would be better control of your diabetes, and also making sure your blood pressure is normal. You didn't mention your blood pressure, but you want to make sure your blood pressure is normal. And by normal, I mean that top number should not be above 140. The bottom number should not be above 80. And then, like I said, your blood glucose, you want it to be as normal as possible, which would be a hemoglobin A1C in the 6.5 or lower range.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Joyce, thank you for your phone call. A lot of calls today. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about kidney health. Let's talk to Shindal calling from Illinois. Shindal, thank you so much for your phone call. What's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted just to encourage someone out there. You know, I've been doing dialysis for 32 years straight. No implants, no nothing. Well, kidney transplant, and you can make it. My blood pressure, my kidneys went out because of a high blood pressure. But you can make it. And I did all the dialysis, the bags, and I'm doing hemo right now, and I did the peritoneal. So I've done all of them. So anyone that's out there, you can make it on those dialysis if you only do right by what the doctors are telling you, and you're eating correctly.
Okay. Well, Shindal, thank you so much for sharing that that glimmer of hope for those people who are concerned about the dialysis process. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back to a couple of things, Dr. Melancon. First of all, we were talking before the break. You said you described something called Frank...
fluid overload.
Okay, what is Frank fluid overload? I've never
right.
heard that term.
Patients that are experiencing fluid overload to that level, they are going to notice that they've gained a lot of weight. And they're, like I said, when they press on their legs, wherever their fingers pushed into the legs will leave an indention. What is happening is they've got all this extra fluid all over their body. They feel heavy. They have trouble putting their shoes on, and then they start having trouble breathing. And when they are gasping for breath, this is usually a clue to them that something is definitely very wrong. And this is when they go to the emergency room. It's in the emergency room that they will get a blood sample, and they will realize that the patient is in kidney failure and needs emergent dialysis. I see plenty of patients that this is how they presented with kidney failure. So Frank fluid overload means that you have too much fluid in your body for your heart to effectively move. Because what normally happens with fluid, you drink it, it comes from the breakdown products of your body, and it flushes out through urine. If you're not making enough urine, then the fluid is backing up. Just like a river backs up and turns into a lake, that's what's happening to someone with Frank fluid overload.
Okay. You also earlier talked about some of the over-the-counter medications. You specifically mentioned ibuprofen that may be problematic for kidney health. Are there any other kinds of over-the-counter medications that people should be aware of as being problematic for kidney health?
Yes, great question. So a lot of these, we call them non-steroidal medications. Ibuprofen is one of them. Midol is another type. And a lot of these, like goody powders, would be an example.
Goody powder? What's a goody powder?
A goody powder is basically like a powdered aspirin.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So people take those for various reasons, for pains, for headaches, and you can become addicted to them. I mean, your body has become addicted to needing them. Usually the vicious cycle is someone's taking ibuprofen or goody powders or aspirin regularly because they have headaches. And the reason that they're having these recurring headaches is because of high blood pressure. So you have someone who has one reason to have kidney disease, high blood pressure, who now is compounding that problem by taking a medicine which can be benign, like aspirin, but if you're taking too much of it, it can cause kidney problems because a side product of aspirin metabolism actually decreases the blood flow to the kidneys. So I've seen this in my practice over many years of patients that are taking these medicines regularly. They're over-the-counter, and they think that they are benign, but they are not benign. And you have to understand that aspirin and ibuprofen are in a lot of different other types of medications, including other types of pain relievers, even pain relievers that you might spread on your skin, topical pain relievers. They do absorb into your body. So people need to be mindful of taking any of these medicines regularly because they can affect your kidney health.
So, yeah, for example, Advil is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, as
exactly.
well as Aleve, naproxen sodium,
right.
sodium, also a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. So If you can't take Advil, if you can't take Aleve, what do you recommend for pain relief for those who want to take a pill if you have a headache or something?
Right. And again, Hal, it is perfectly fine to take these medicines as recommended for short periods of time. So the people that get into trouble, they take these medicines for weeks and weeks on end, and that's where the problem is. So it's fine to take them sporadically. But if you have an ongoing issue, then what I would say is you need to intersperse other types of over-the-counter medicine. So acetaminophen, which is what is in Tylenol, that is a safer alternative. So if you took Advil last week, then this week you should take Tylenol and go back and forth. But the bigger issue is if you have an ongoing issue, if it's pain, if it's a headache, you need to go and get that checked out, because what you want is to fix the problem that's causing you to need the pain medication, because it's not normal to have to take pain medicine weekly or for long periods of time. Something is wrong that needs to be addressed. And that's why I mentioned the headaches in people with high blood pressure. A recurring headache is a sign of a problem, and it needs to be elucidated as to what is really going on there.
Okay. More phone calls for you, Doc. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Suzanne calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Suzanne. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi, Doctor. I'm a 70-year-old woman, and I was recently diagnosed. I went to get my general health, and I was diagnosed as stage 3 kidney disease. And I can't remember what the name was, but it was some lab where you're supposed to score 60 and above, and I was at a 52. And I have no high blood pressure. I have no protein in my urine, but she told me I was in stage 3. I read an article saying in the New York Times saying that for people over 60, it's kind of not good to think that their kidneys are going to be in that 60 and above range, that really it should be 45 to 60. Do you know what I'm talking about with that lab report?
Yes, ma'am, Suzanne. And yes, what you read is correct. As we get older, it is perfectly normal for our kidney function to slowly decrease. That is true. However, you are in stage 3 kidney disease, and the good news is you can improve your kidney health. Now, the number you're talking about, that's called glomerular filtration rate. And
yes,
a normal rate is going to be above 60. So even at your age, you're 70 years old, you still should want to have a GFR above 60. Yours is a little below that. That's not that big of an issue as long as it stays stable. So you need to be mindful of the fact that you have some compromised kidney function. Now, you said you don't have high blood pressure. That's good. I presume you don't have diabetes, and no, that would be good. But there are things you can do to decrease the stress on your kidneys. And what that means is you can increase water intake. Okay, so by increasing more water, and everyone should be drinking at least 8 glasses of water a day. Now, again, that's for someone with normal or normal-ish kidney function, which you would be. It's not like the gentleman that called earlier that had a kidney transplant that failed. But for you, you should drink a lot of water every day, because filtering that kidney is going to make it work better. You should think of trying to decrease the amount of red meat that you eat. It's okay to eat some red meat, particularly lean red meat, but the less meat that you eat, the more, particularly red meat, you're taking stress off of your kidney. So you want to eat chicken, you want to eat fish, You want to have vegetarian meals. You want to drink a lot of water, and you also want to exercise, because exercising helps your kidney by getting rid of fluid through perspiration. So that helps you, because that's decreasing the work your kidneys have to do to get rid of toxins. Perspiration is a normal, another way that our body gets rid of toxins. So what you want to do is decrease the stress on your kidneys. At 70 years old and having the GFR that you do have, I think that you would be perfectly fine unless you have another problem. So as long as your heart is healthy and your other labs look good, I think you will still have good, reasonably good kidney function for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Suzanne, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Malcolm from California, stay with us. I'll get to you in a minute, but I do want to talk briefly about kidney cancer as well as kidney transplants, Dr. Malakon. First of all, kidney cancer, if you are diagnosed with a form of kidney cancer, can that be corrected without removing the kidney if it's caught early?
Yes, Harold, absolutely. If your kidney cancer is caught very early, and it's usually caught early if someone has blood in their urine and then they get a workup and a mass can be seen on the kidney, usually a mass that's seen in the kidney can be removed without having to remove the entirety of the kidney. But the good news is, even if you have a cancer on one kidney and the entire kidney needs to be taken out, usually the kidney that remains will give you good enough kidney function that you should still have normal kidney function for the rest of your life. So even if you have to take out one kidney, if you're otherwise healthy, then you would be fine even with kidney cancer. Here's the other good news about kidney cancer. If it's caught and it's still just in the kidney, which normally does happen because kidney cancer tends to grow slow, it will not negatively impact your survival. Most people that have kidney cancer that's treated with removal of the kidney or removal of a part of the kidney will have a normal life expectancy.
Mm. And about kidney transplants, is there anything new when it comes to kidney transplants, particularly as it relates to matching and compatibility in the long haul after a transplant?
Yes, great question. And yes, there is new information that we have found over the years, which is we don't have to match people as well as we used to think we had to, or we used to, based on the fact that our medications have been made stronger, and you are less likely to have a rejection early after transplant. If you went back 20 years ago, we were still dealing with a lot of problems with early rejection, and therefore people needed to be having a donor that was really well matched to them. And by matched, I meant by blood type, and then there are these proteins that we look for in your blood, and people that are related tend to have more of these matching proteins. However, what we have found throughout the years, and again, with the medications that we have available now, is that just having a donor, particularly a live donor, is the best way to have good kidney function after transplantation. So we can match people that these proteins are not that well matched. We can even match people that have different blood types. That's something we couldn't do in the past, but we can do today, and the outcome can be excellent. So the most important thing for a person who needs a transplant is really just to have a donor. A live donor is going to be your best option, because you can get the transplant as soon as possible, which is the most important thing, and we can have you be in the optimal health for this elective operation. deceased donation, you have to sit on a list and wait for sometimes many, many years to get the transplant. And oftentimes your health will deteriorate and you may not be a candidate for transplant any longer.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good piece of information to have. Let me go back to the phone lines. Malcolm calling from California. Malcolm, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I am 37, and basically I know that you mentioned a bit of water retention in the legs or the feet, and so I feel like I've had some water retention in my left foot since like my mid-20s, and every time I've checked it out at the doctor, all they ever suggested was just like compression socks. So I'm not really sure like how to go about addressing it with the doctor or if there are any types of preventatory things that I can do at home.
Okay, Malcolm, very good point. So if you've had a workup numerous times before, then that means the doctors would have checked your bloodstream to determine if your kidney function is normal. So the other thing that they would have checked, because whenever a person has fluid retention, the two things to worry about would be, is your kidney working correctly and is your heart working correctly? Now, you're a young person, and again, they would have checked your heart to make sure the pump is pumping correctly. So if your heart's pumping correctly and you don't have kidney problems and you have swelling in one leg, then you probably have what's called lymphedema. Lymphedema is different. It's still fluid, but what is happening is you have a dysfunction of a different vessel in the legs. Again, I'm just guessing, but when you have that as your problem, then that could be the result of genetics or the result of an infection. I've seen people that have, you know, had spider bites or even mosquito bites that can lead to lymphedema. And your doctor is correct. When that is your issue, rather than having a venous problem or a pump problem, pump being kidney or heart, then the treatment is compression stocking. Now, there are lymphedema clinics, and they're usually in physical therapy establishments where they can put you through a rehabilitation process where they will wrap your legs and do different, you can do different exercises to try to decrease this fluid and actually cure the problem. But it can take some time. And that may be your issue rather than a kidney issue.
Okay. Malcolm, good luck to you. Good health to you. Thank you so much for your phone call. Last phone call of the evening. Sachio calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment about kidney failure and how that's affecting a lot of people in this world.
Real quick, I'll give you a minute because we're really low on time. Go right ahead, please.
So I believe people should eat healthy foods like vegetables, fruits, and I also believe people should drink water every single day and not eat fast foods every single minute. And so I just want to say good luck to people out there. Please eat healthy and have a great life.
Well, there you go.
And thank you. He's 11 years old, and he listens to your show all the time, and this is very informative. Thank you.
Oh, so, that was an 11-year-old? I thought that was a young adult.
He is sometimes.
Yes,
I'm
sure.
But this is when the habits start at this age.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Sachio, thank you so much for sharing with us your healthy eating habits, and make sure you keep your folks in line there. So thank you so
much.
There you go. Thank you so much. How about that, Dr. Melanchon? I'll let you have a final word before we wrap up this conversation.
Yeah, Hal. You know, I love the comments by Sachio because he is absolutely 100% correct. I think if there is a perfect ending to the show, it's what he said, to drink lots of water and to eat a healthier diet. We are killing ourselves by the amount of sugar and salt that we intake, particularly preservatives. So I would tell people, the more you can cook at home, the more that you can eat fresh fruits and vegetables, the more healthy you will be.
Well, I think that is a perfect place to end this conversation. Dr. Keith Melanchon, I really appreciate all that you have shared with us. So much information, and we still haven't covered it all. But I appreciate every moment with you and look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Well, thank you, Harold. As always, I really enjoyed it.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, April 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.